Welcome back to Around the Walker's Table. This month of May, we've been looking at, we've looked at translations, we've looked at study tools or what's in the Bible, and we're going to continue in this little mini series by asking, when is this information important? When is it important? When should I focus on translation? When should I focus on what notes I have? How do I use this stuff? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to be really studying the Bible, I want to know the history, the origin, and make sure I understand or go deep theologically. What do I need?
So what for myself, when I am wanting to really dig into what the scriptures are saying, what really is going on there, that's when I reach for a word-for-word translation, such as a New Revised Standard Version. Another option is the English Standard Version. And there's a few others out there, but those two are probably the easiest to find right there, like my trusty brown Bible that, again, if you come to Wiley-McClave, you will see me preach out of, because this is what I use on Sunday mornings. And it's a New Revised Standard Version. I know for myself, the advantage of using the NRSV is this is a translation I have used throughout my education. When I was in college, when I was in seminary, this is a translation I used. And the advantage of when you're really digging deep into a scripture, sticking with a translation that is familiar, is you know the quirks of the translation. You know some of the things of how it may translate a certain phrase. You also know that when, like, Lord is an all upper case, and this is across many Bibles too. Lord is all uppercase in the Bible, printed in our text. That is, you know, the Tetragrammaton or you know Yahweh right there. So you learn things like that, and NRSV preserves that detail. Also, when you are digging deep, that's where parallel study Bibles come in handy, where you have multiple translations against each other. Because again, these are all translations. We are not speakers of Greek from long ago or ancient Hebrew. And so looking at various translations is helpful to kind of see where groups of folks were looking at and how they interpreted the text. And it helps you to grow.
And I think also when you're really doing that deep dive, it's helpful to have a study Bible or a Bible with those extra helps in the back of a good concordance. You can get a separate concordance that's a big hefty book, but that quick concordance or dictionary in the back, some maps, so you can kind of find your way and dig a little deeper with those tools alongside.
And also a simple one, a tool to also have is, and I would recommend this very specific book, you can find it on Amazon or through Cokesbury, is the New Interpreter's one volume commentary. And it is a big book, about yay big. And what's handy with that is if you're really wanting to get more serious at what's going on, that one volume commentary has some good scholarly notes that are, it's more than what you'd find in a study Bible. So that's a helpful resource to have too.
Right. And so as we start with the Bible, as we build out our collections, each of us kind of build out our own collection differently, depending on where we are. So as clergy, we definitely have full sets of commentaries as well as some of those single commentaries to help our study as we prepare for Sunday mornings or for Bible studies. But for your personal at-home devotion, having a good study Bible, maybe one commentary, and then having a good devotional plan so that you don't skip over stuff that's hard. It's really easy when you're just reading through to say, I don't get Leviticus. It has a whole lot of names, a whole lot of things. I don't even know what they are. I looked at the plan in 2 weeks. I'm back to those narratives about war, and that sounds like adventure and that's cooler. So I'm going to go with that. And so having a good study plan or even a Bible that has a suggested study plan is really helpful to make sure we don't skip over stuff that might make us uncomfortable. And speaking of, we want you to engage with Scripture, to learn Scripture. And one way to do that is to have a small pocket Bible. This is like the, you probably have seen one of these, may have one in your home. This is from the Gideons. That's just the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. There's also, I have one that hangs out in my purse. That's the whole Bible. But it's really handy to have a this size that really is where I can hold it in my palm. That so when a line is long, when you have a 10-minute wait, or now when you make an order and you have to call it in and then wait in your car for something, to have something to flip to. And I actually like having a pocket Bible a little bit better than just having the Bible on my phone. We've talked about that previously around the Walker's Table about having the Bible in your phone, which is great. And I do encourage you to do that. But it's really easy to slide from your Bible in your phone over to another app of social media or something that's scrolling, that has pretty pictures, that might be a little more. And so when you really do just have a few minutes, I encourage you to ground yourself in Scripture. So if something you've been memorizing, if it's a time of grief or frustration, looking to some of the Psalms, and really just taking a few moments. And so something we've not really talked about, but size does matter. And while it's great to have a hefty study Bible, and it's nice sometimes to have a large print Bible because it's easier on your eyes, sometimes it's also nice to have a little Bible that you can have with you, that can be in your car or in your purse or in your back pocket, so that when you just have those 2 or 3 minutes that sneak up on you, that you're going to be impatiently waiting. Instead of impatiently waiting, I would challenge you to open up Scripture.
And I echo a lot of what Pastor Christina was sharing there. But if you want to use a Bible app on your phone, Bible Gateway is my recommendation. And I'm a little bit of a different approaching Pastor Christina on that. I like having the app on my phone and using that. So really, it's kind of personal, no preference there. But she is correct, though. You can go from reading Scripture to saying, hey, what's on Instagram? Pretty quick right there. And then you go down that Instagram, rabbit hole right there. But Bible Gateway is the app I recommend because you have all the translations available through it, and it's really handy. You can pull up stuff quickly with that. So if we're going to be doing more meditation, meditating on Scripture, maybe a Lectio Divina, what would you recommend that we use for that?
So I would recommend a few things. So we talked about translations. In that space, I would go either with a phrase for phrase or a paraphrase, something that has those thoughts that have been intentionally in the translation sculpted to come together a little bit easier to say. So it has that more rhythmic feel, because sometimes the word for word is great and I love it, but sometimes in word for word, you lose some of the poetry of Scripture and some of the rhythm that makes it easier to engage with when you're doing that devotional study. I'd also recommend, while I have many Bibles that are hardcovers, I have many Bibles that are kind of just this cardboardy slick. If you have multiple Bibles, and you have one that's a little bit softer in your hand, whether it be a leather, a faux leather, a fabric. Honestly, it sounds really silly, but that hand feel matters, especially if you're going to go deep or be holding it for a long time. Having something that's comfortable in your hand so you don't get frustrated or just set it down and leave it, but actually take it to engage with. And something that doesn't have too many study helps or pictures, because while those can be really helpful when you're doing deep studying, when you're doing that devotional Lectio Divina, that intentional quiet time, sometimes that image can be really distracting. And so intentionally finding one that's not distracting for you. Another format of Bible that we don't have on the table right now is a single column or a journaling Bible that has either space to write notes or is very intentionally more in that format of a traditional novel, more formatted like a novel than a textbook. Because sometimes when we look in a Bible, it feels like we're looking at a textbook, and that makes it hard to do devotional study because our brain is like drudgery, drudgery of education, which isn't always bad, but there's times when it just, that's one more barrier when you're trying to go deep spiritually. And so I would encourage reading through what you have, figuring out, and also that's a great time to look for a larger font size or a font size that's comfortable for reading for you in the normal light you read in. Not, this is great at the bookstore when I bought it. This was great when I saw it, or I really, the cover has a pretty picture, but actually reading the font, is it something that's going to make my eyes tired, give me a headache, frustrate me? And so then I say, I don't like studying scripture. It hurts my eyes.
I use a large print Bible. Actually, I think this might. Yeah, this is large print. There's no shame in using large print or even giant print. There's a lot of words in here. No shame.
And there's I don't remember which publisher. There's a publisher that a few years ago came out with something called Comfort Print, which is not only, it's actually a size between what's considered large and giant, but it has weighted letters. So if you're dyslexic, if you sometimes struggle with word order, it has those letters that are a little bit thicker on the bottom than the top. And so if that's something that's a consideration for you in reading of other things, that would be something to consider, as well as if you need some of those hints or need special colors to help something make sense to you. Digital Bibles, even having the Bible on like a Kindle or an electronic reader of some sort. While I love my paper Bible, I do have it on the Kindle. And there's times when I intentionally do that in color, and it makes it where it's not so much strain on my eyes. And that's something we don't talk about a lot, but it makes a difference when, especially when you're doing a lot of reading or want to be very focused in on what you're reading.
All right. I think we covered a lot of information right there. If you have more questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you've got questions maybe we didn't cover here, reach out to us. We can help connect you with a resource that will help. But we appreciate you sticking with us as we've been in this series and learning and growing with us.
And if you have questions about, you think your personal Bible has some of these features, but you're not quite sure how to use them, feel free to reach out to us. Especially in this time, we would, even if it takes a web call or something, we would love to go through with you, with your Bible, of how to make it most effective for your personal devotion and studying.
Alrighty. Well, as we've come to the conclusion here, Pastor Christina, would you pray us out?
Sure. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful to continue to grow in your word, to grow in understanding and in intention as we read your word, as we dive deeper into reading and figure out how to make it most effective for us, how we can get rid of the distractions of this world and really focus in more clearly on you. We continue to want to know you better. And we ask that you open our eyes to allow us to see. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.